Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and we are live here in the studios in downtown Sandpoint of our community radio station for another edition, the Wednesday, May 24th edition of the morning show. I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts, and across from me is my smiling co-host,
Chris Bessler.
Good morning, Chris.
How you doing, Susie?
I'm doing fine. I was just thinking back to how many years have we been doing this? Every Wednesday I get, or it used to be Tuesday, you're there.
Here I am.
Again.
Almost every Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. Couple years, though, we've been doing this.
2.5 years, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. We're dedicated. This is an opportunity for our community to hear a little bit what's going on, to visit with some of our community organizations. And today we have with us two different interviews. The first interview is with folks from the Bonner General Hospital Hospice, Community Hospice.
Yeah.
And Lisa DeFreitas.
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 Uh-huh.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Susie.
Lisa. I'm going to say it. I'm going to get it eventually.
There's two S's in there. Yeah.
Lisa.
It's no worries. It's sunny.
Yeah, it's sunny. And
grace happens.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about the Hospice Kids Camp. Mm-hmm. And so we also have Peter Gilmore, who's the co-director of the camp. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you. And we'll get to an interview with you. What about our second interview?
And in the second part, the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Roger Woodworth of Mindset Matters. He's a consultant that's been hired by the city to assess and make recommendations on the Business Improvement District. He's going to be with City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton. And that's going to be a very interesting conversation as well, because it's a big decision on what is going to happen with the BID here in the downtown district. So hang on for that coming at the bottom of the hour.
And we might even hear about the road changes.
Yeah, the road changes, the downtown street reversion is underway as we speak. They're doing work on Fifth Avenue, and that's going to switch to two-way here very shortly. Maybe today, maybe in the next day or two. They're almost done with the prep work on that. We might be able to have a chance to talk about that, but the focus will be on the BID. And Susie, so
what about it?
What about the weather? What's happening? It's been pretty gorgeous the last few days.
From the National Weather Service, you bet it's been outrageous, actually. Actually, I went outside last night to close the garage door. It was warm out at 10 o'clock at night, very balmy. But right now they're saying it's 52 degrees, fair. A slight chance of showers after 11 a.m. today, about a 20% chance. Increasing clouds with a high near 62. Breezy with southwest winds, 13 to 18 miles per hour. And gusts as high as 28. So either get out a kite or hang on to your hat. Either way.
Wow.
Tonight, a 20% chance of showers before 11 p.m. Mostly cloudy with lows around 41. And a little bit windy. And then Thursday, chance of showers between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. And Thursday, the high is 67. And Thursday night, 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 42. However, Friday, Saturday, highs in the 70s, lows in the evening, and it's clear and sunny coming up.
So nice sounding weekend coming up.
So there you go.
Some of the other things going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 4:55 a.m., it'll set tonight at 8:31 p.m. Over the course of the last week, with the days getting longer still, we gained 16 minutes of daylight each day. So we're getting those long days of impending summer here. Lake Ponderay is up to 58.8 feet. It actually hasn't risen in the last 7 days. They're still holding it down because they're expecting quite a bit of snowmelt to be coming down from the mountains still. And speaking of snow melt, the Priest River is gushing right now. It's at 6,040 CFS. It was a little bit higher on a couple of days ago. It was at 6,500. But you can expect that river, as well as the Moyer River, which has a nice whitewater run on it, is at 4,990 CFS. It's jumped up a bunch in the last 3 days. It was 2,900 CFS on the 19th. We're in a very variable conditions. You get a little bit of warm and rain, and the rivers jump up. There's more snowmelt coming down into the lake. But the lake will be coming up. The rivers will be flowing.
Didn't you used to do river kayaking years ago?
No.
You still do?
Still do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know all about the rivers. And it is the time of year people love to get out because they are running so high, but it's also the time to be extremely careful.
Yeah, yeah. There was a drowning on the Moye a couple of weeks ago, a whitewater rafter, sadly. It was a very rare occasion on the Moye, actually. Not quite sure what happened there, but yeah. It's so whitewater people do need to exercise caution.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun to go up to Meadow Creek Campground and just watch the rafters come down on probably the weekends mostly, because right now they're coming down and it's a hoop and a holler. They're really having fun hanging on with life vests and everything else.
Big waves.
Yeah, big waves. Well, should we get to our... Do you have anything else there, Chris?
Well, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Okay.
And that means it's kind of, that's really the kickoff to summer. There's a few things going on in town, as always. There's an all-star concert. Actually, that was last night by the Music Conservatory at the Panada. Yappy Hour is coming up tomorrow. That's the Panhandle Animal Shelter. It invites people to bring their dogs. That's at Taylor and Sons. There's Ales for Trails tomorrow also. It's a benefit for Ponderay Peddlers at the Poor Authority. There's a SHS band concert on Thursday. So there's a lot of things going on around
town. And the farmer's market this afternoon.
This afternoon and again on Saturday.
That's right.
Farmer's market is really looking good. So there's things going on. People can get a full calendar at kfy.org or sampleonline.com.
Sounds good.
So with that, let's get into our talk this morning with the... two folks we have here from the Bonner General Health Community Hospice, Lissa DeFreitas and Peter Gilmore. Thanks again for being here. And Lissa, you probably get that a lot, don't you?
I do. I answer to a lot of things.
Well, your parents, they set you up with that, you know.
I know.
The spelling on your name having two S's in it, but that's cool. That makes us...
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But you always answer with a gigantic smile on your face.
Oh.
So it's really sweet.
So I always like to start with a little bit of... tell us what... The community hospice is about.
Yeah, I would love to. And I first want to thank you both for the opportunity to be here, for Peter and I to be here to talk about Kids Camp, and for the immense gift to be part of our hospice team here in Sandpoint, both Bonner and Boundary County. But what I want to say about hospice is it really is truly... it's a philosophy of care. I know a lot of times we think of hospice as organizational, but it is a philosophy of care that dates back to, I want to say, thousands of years, in that we can, when someone has a life-limiting illness, that we're able to provide a presence for them. We're able to provide education and to surround them with nursing team and support and spiritual care and social workers on board to be able to look at and assess all the things that is needed in this kind of a journey, because it's an incredible journey. When someone is living with a life-limiting illness and they've made that decision that treatment is no longer an option, then hospice can walk with them, and that is what we do, and we do it with amazing grace and amazing volunteers. And I always start crying when I talk about our volunteers, because we cannot do what we do without the team that we have. So on top of doing what we do in homes of people as we walk with them, we also provide bereavement support for our families all 13 months. But then we also provide community bereavement support for those in need. And that's part of what Kids Camp is all about, in terms of providing that support. So it's amazing organization. And the other thing I want to say is, a lot of times people hear the word hospice and they just want to kind of move to the other room, and they want to shut down, and they think, oh, that's not for me, because they think of hospice and they think, oh gosh, those are the people that are going to help me die. And in truth, hospice is about assisting people to live fully till the very end. And really, we're here walking with that person to help them to have a quality of life and to live their life fully all the way to the end. And that's really what we do.
That's beautiful. And it seems like you have, over the years, seen the difference in that quality of end-of-life time.
Absolutely.
Instead of it being run to the finish. It's an event, in a sense.
And it's things that you can prepare for on so many different levels when you have that conscious journey. And the other thing that I think is very incredible, if you look at research, people that have hospice, people that are on hospice, tend to be less in pain and tend to actually live longer. So, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, a sort of like oxymoron type of thing, thinking hospice can actually expand your life, but it truly is a gift.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the role that volunteers play. Mm-hmm. And Peter, you're a volunteer, correct?
Yes.
Well, briefly, why do you volunteer to the community hospice?
Well, my sister's illness got me involved, and it was a way for me to cope with her alcoholism while she had a terminal disease, and so it was taking the medicine or drinking. And hospice helped me understand this is her life. It's incredibly rich for anyone who has any inclination toward hospice. This is something you should check out. We also do support grief. We have different groups that support grief, and I'm involved with that. And for me, that's really rich and rewarding. I think that's it. I think it adds a richness to my life.
You went through that experience yourself of losing a loved one, and you found so much support from the hospice community that you wanted to, in turn, help people, it sounds like.
Yes, I think once you go through an experience like that, you're changed. Mm-hmm. And then having already been in hospice, it was just a natural course for me.
Mm-hmm.
And many others.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, what types of roles do volunteers play?
There are so many diverse roles, but the one that Peter is mentioning is huge, because we could not do the community bereavement that we do without our volunteer support, because not only do we do the groups twice a month, but we have ongoing classes every year called Coping with Grief that we offer to our community, along with education that's ongoing. But volunteers can provide that real direct kind of care where you're at the bedside and you're providing like companioning support or respite support. We also have an amazing bedside vigil team. And that's volunteers that are really called to be at that threshold time of life where you're providing support to the families. They could be under just a lot of stress. They could be overwhelmed from just the journey they've been under, and all of a sudden it's 24/7, and a volunteer can step in and just hold that vigil space with them. We also have volunteers that help with our fundraisers. We have volunteers that help in the office, which I have to say are the angels, because there is so much to hospice overall. There is so many tasks that are kind of beneath the surface that we could not do without our volunteer support. So it's quite huge. And the other gift is, because our hospice serves both Bonner and Boundary County, I mean, geographically, we go far. And without all those volunteers in Bonner's Ferry and Priest Lake and Priest River, Kokalala and Sagal and all the places that we outreach to, we couldn't do what we do and provide that auxiliary support for the families.
Mm. At any one time, is there an average number of people that you're serving that are going through hospice?
I would say sometimes, I couldn't probably give you a correct average, but I'm guessing around at any given time around 22 families,
right,
you know, ongoing, but it fluctuates up and mm-hmm. down, you know, mm-hmm. can go.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, one major event that you have coming is the Kids Camp.
Yeah, the Kids Grief Camp.
So tell us about that. And I'm curious about the kids that are going there. Are they kids that have lost?
Yes.
Someone that they love, I'm sure.
Yes, but absolutely. That's the criteria. This is the 17th annual Kids Grief Camp. We offer it to our community, both Bonner and Boundary County, annually. It's a weekend experience, so it goes from Friday to Sunday. And these are for children from ages 7 to 17 that have had a significant loss through death. So it doesn't have to be a family member. It could be a best friend or a friend or a neighbor. It could be someone that was significant to them. And so that's the only really criteria for the camp. But we're just so blessed that we have the experience of being able to companion with these ones, both children and teens, because it gives children and teens an opportunity to be together, to recognize they're not the only ones that are going through that kind of a trauma. And it kind of normalizes things in a way, but through the journey, we give them tools to assist them in the journey. I don't know how much you want me to say, so I'm...
Well, that's a good beginning mm-hmm. picture yeah. of why we have the kids' camp. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, you've 17 years you've been doing yes. this. So it was a vision of someone to really reach out to another aspect of the death and dying experience.
Well, I want to just say that this was originated with Jenna Moss's vision. As she was volunteering at the time, and she really held the vision for being able to support children going through a grieving journey. And Peter, you've been on board for almost the duration of the whole kids camp. So, you know, it's really been an evolution, you know, and the two things that we offer are two different kinds of modes. This year, our topic is transformation through change. And then the next year it will be tools are cool. So we kind of switch those up each year, and it's an amazing experience.
So, Peter, can you give us a little picture of what that experience has been for you for these almost 17 years of being involved, what you see the children, young teens and children experience, and how it does transform them through the process?
I always think of how difficult it is for me when someone dies and I don't know what to say to the survivor or the family members. I'm an adult who's been with hospice for quite a while. So being a child and with other children, it becomes really difficult. And like Lissa was saying, when they're together, it's a different experience. I've kind of lost
when they're with their peers, they yeah. can share that experience, I would guess, with somebody that feels what they're feeling, what they're going yeah. through. Yeah.
We start off with team building, get everybody on the same page. We have a lot of fun. And then we go more into the experience.
So individual sharing and support yeah. and seeing that they're not mm-hmm. alone, mm-hmm. they can see maybe that others are feeling similar.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for children to acknowledge their loss and to acknowledge the significance of the person they did lose. I mean, I think that's really huge because we're talking about relationships here that matter hugely, and now they're gone. And so these children are, you know, some of them have suffered a trauma. Some of them have experienced a traumatic loss. It wasn't a hospice death. It wasn't something they were preparing for. It was something that was taken in an instant. It could have been a tragic accident. It could have been something, another kind of event that left them in a place of shock. And so they're still kind of processing and trying to understand the experience. So I think by acknowledging the loss and recognizing other people's stories and their experiences, it gives them that sense of, Peter was talking about that team building. It's really creating a container, a safe place where people can share. They can share their emotions. They can share their stories. They can share their experience. You see that transformation happening throughout the weekend. You see it like on day three, the difference of day one when kids come in and they're just kind of stressed and they're constricted a bit and, you know, or really excited. And then by the end of kids camp, it's just a unified kind of experience.
I imagine that someone experiencing loss and grief goes through counseling afterwards, but this is different. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for them to be with their peers mm-hmm. in a fun and beautiful environment too. Right, and right. So where is this camp? Where does
this camp is up in Clark Fork.
Okay.
And it is the Antelope Mountain Resort. And I have to say that the family that owns this camp has offered to us each and every year. It is not a camp that it's like a public camp. It is something they offer to us because of their heartfelt vision to assist children that have experienced trauma and grief. And so we just so am grateful for the Russell family for extending that to us each and every year. It's an amazing camp. I mean, it's got a spread where we can go on hikes and we can have fun activities. I mean, it is just amazing out there.
Not quite huckleberry picking season, but beautiful nonetheless.
It is very beautiful.
And the dates this year?
16th through the 18th of June.
Yeah. And if people want to sign up?
There's still time to sign up. The deadline for the registration is Friday of the first week of June. And we still have openings available. And I hope our community members do understand that there is no cost to our community whatsoever. And there are still time to register.
How would someone do that?
They would call me. They would call me at 265-1185, and they would say, please, I'm interested in kids camp. I would make sure to get an application sent to them. I would go over all the preliminary information about kids camp, what's it all about. We also offer to our parents an overview. So as they drop the kids off on Friday, we're doing an overview with the parents as well. So the parents can also have an experience of kind of preparing to be without their children for the weekend and looking at the resources that we have as a hospice for bereavement.
And you must get some information on the loss each child is experiencing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, Chris, is that the reason that we do the camp the way that we do is because children grieve very uniquely in that, you know, we think as adults, it's, oh, we just go through it like that. But children have grief bursts. You know, they go through time, we have a little bit, and then they're playing and they're active. And so we give little bits of this and that as we go through our activity schedule so that we might have our memorialization. We might have all these types of things where we're sharing, but then we're doing really fun activities to kind of balance all of that out.
I just want to remind the KRFY listeners, we are here at 88.5 live in the studio for the morning show, and we're speaking with Lissa DeFreitas. Did I say it right this time?
You rock.
I worked on it the whole time you were talking.
Oh, good.
And Peter Gilmore. Yep. About the hospice kids camp and about Bonner General Health Community Hospice in general. Mm-hmm. But the kids camp is coming up. It's for children ages 7 through 17, and they can call 265. You can call 265-1185 if you want more information about the kids camp.
And also, they can connect with you through your websites, bonnergeneral.org, and look for the link to the hospice care
that's right,
page.
Chris, yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, Peter, so going into this year, anything that you would mention to people about the activities that are going to be happening at this camp or anything you might want to say?
I think Lissa summed it up pretty well when she said safe. That's our primary objective, is for this to be a safe camp, transformative and fun.
Yeah.
I think we're expecting quite a few children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be, as it always has been in the past, an incredible experience, not mm-hmm. just for the kids, but for us adult counselors as well.
Mm-hmm. But now, I imagine that you have kids that come that have experienced a recent loss.
Mm-hmm.
But do you get kids that may have lost somebody two or three years ago and is still
absolutely
struggling with it?
That's the whole thing about the developmental stages, is that a children could experience a loss at age 7, but now they're age 12 or maybe they're age 11, and they have a whole different concept of death, period. And so they're at a different juncture in terms of how they're dealing with the loss of that relationship. And so we do offer kids camp two times. It doesn't have to be in a row, but, you know, if a child comes and they really benefit from the experience, we will invite them back this next year. We have 8 children coming back from last year, which says a lot.
It truly does.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing all about this, I wonder about all of the support that the hospice program has during the year. Yeah. And I know you have some other fundraisers coming up. And as you said, the hospice kids camp, it doesn't really cost the community anything.
It doesn't
cost anyone anything.
No, it doesn't. And I have to say that we couldn't probably do what we do without our community support. And Cal is one of our genuine, beautiful supporters. They have a heart for our kids in this community. And they have provided some wonderful assistance to us so that we can make this happen for our children, because, you know, there are costs for camp and, you know, all the preparations and lodgings and food. And we have great food, by the way. And
I bet you do.
All the things that we have in store for them. It takes a big planning process too. And so we value our community for supporting us to do what we do. We could not do it without.
Okay.
And what else is coming up for
hospice? I know I was going to say that we have the 10th annual, it's the Bill Tate, Marcia Thompson, Priest River Memorial Golf Tournament. And actually, that community themselves adopted us to really provide support to hospice. It is their memorial tournament, meaning those two people are thought about, and people come together to have fun and to support hospice, and they do this each and every year. This is their 10th year. It just so happens that it's on the 24th of June, which is a week after kids camp. So I'm getting myself ready, just saying.
You have a very busy little period coming.
Yeah. I know. I'm getting myself ready, making sure I can get on the golf course before. But what I want to say is it is such a gift to the Priest River community that's offering that to us. And if our community wants to support hospice in a way and wants to have some extra dipper fun, they can just call that same number, 265-1185, and I can offer all the registration information for the golf tournament. I'd be happy to do that.
It's been a pleasure having you here anytime.
Oh, remember that, Susie. Lisa. Thank you, Chris. And you guys rock. I just want you to know that.
And we want to thank both of you for the work you're doing, Peter Gilmore and Lisa DeFreitas.
Oh, thank you so much for the gift of being here.
Mm-hmm.
And next up, we're going to be talking with a couple of folks from the city about the BID and the evaluation that's going on there. So, Susie, why don't you give us a quick musical break, and we'll bring in our next guest.
This was the number one song in 1969. It's the Beatles' Get Back, and it's one of the few songs that they did with someone else, Billy Preston. So this is the Beatles' Get Back. We'll be back in just a few minutes with our second interview. Stay tuned.
Aww.